And we are surveying the new landscape of the presidential campaign after the tornado named Trump passed through, leaving signage and broken dreams in abandoned campaign headquarters across the U.S. Today, John Kasich is following Ted Cruz in dropping out of the race. He's expected to make a statement in his home state of Ohio at 5 p.m. Eastern later today. On NBC's Today Show this morning, Donald Trump was asked if he was confident he could unite the Republican Party.
I am confident that I can unite much of it. Some of it I don't want. I mean, there were statements made about me that those people can go away and maybe come back in 8 years after we serve two terms. But honestly, there are some people I really don't want. I don't think it's necessary. People will be voting for me. They're not voting for the party.
And there are certainly people in the party who will not vote for him. This morning, the New York Daily News tweeted out its headline for today: "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to mourn the GOP." Meanwhile, on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders won Indiana and says he is in the race for longer. The race is not over, he says, even though Hillary Clinton is now considered the likely nominee of the Democratic Party. Here now, political analysts Paris Denard and Angela Rye are with us. Paris, Republican strategist. Angela, a Democratic strategist. Neither working for any of the campaigns. Hello to you both.
Hello, hey, hello.
And Paris, you tweeted last night, "Looks like it's time to hashtag make America great again." Are you happy with the results?
You know what? I think the results are what they are. I mean, we have to give Donald Trump credit. He defied all odds and is now the presumptive GOP nominee. And so I'm happy that we are all going to have to come together to defeat Hillary Clinton.
Well, the come together part, Paris.
About that.
Some Republicans are burning their party registration cards. Mark Salter, John McCain's former advisor, tweeted, "I'm with her," meaning Hillary Clinton.
Listen.
Go ahead.
You know what? I thought you were going to play a clip or something from Salter. Look, Donald Trump is going to be our nominee, and the GOP has to swallow the pill. It's a rather large and expensive orange-colored pill, but we're going to have to swallow it. I keep hearing from my, you know, Republican friends that say, you know, I'm an American first, and then I'm a Republican, so I won't vote for Trump. And so the idea that our patriotism is somehow predicated on the candidate in office is absurd. You know, Roberta McCain, Senator McCain's mother, said in 2008 that the GOP was going to have to, and I quote, "plug your nose and vote for Johnny." And so we're going to have to plug our nose if you don't like Donald Trump and vote for him, unless you want to have another term for President Barack Obama's agenda.
You know,
it's just absurd. You have to vote for Donald Trump if you want to win against Hillary Clinton.
The Nevada political analyst John Ralston tweeted today, "Homeland Security raises threat level to orange." Going on your joke there. Angela, as you look at this, what do you think? Because I've heard two different kinds of Democrats talking about this. On the one hand, there are some who say, this is going to be the easiest race ever for Hillary Clinton. On the other hand, there are people who say, wait, wait, wait. You know, this guy has won every contest he's really put his mind to in this campaign.
You know, and he is really the quintessential flip-flopper. I have never in my life seen anyone that can become so many versions of themselves, right? Whether we're Donald Trump 1.0, 1.5, 2.0, he is a different person, and he can just consistently reinvent himself. And so part of the problem that I'm sure some of the Republicans are having is, who is this guy really? Is he really a Republican? Is he perhaps an independent? Is he a Democrat? I saw Bill.
But are you worried about him and his ability to beat Hillary Clinton?
I am. And what I'm saying,
You mean that he can? You are worried that he can?
I am concerned that he is a formidable candidate because I can't figure out who this guy is. I have consistently predicted wrongly everything that Donald Trump has done. I have said he's going to pull out of this race when he files his financial disclosure. I probably said it on this program. There have been so many different things. Shut up, Paris. There have been so many different times where I predicted this wrong. You also didn't like him. Welcome to the Trump train, Paris. It's brand new, boo. You got 2 months and running.
I got to jump on. If I want to win, clearly, I got to jump on the train.
But he's going to run you over. That thing doesn't stop.
But Paris, let me ask you about that. I mean, we keep going, and this is the big headline. There was another one we're going to get to, the Bernie Sanders win in Indiana. But, you know, the big headline is, you know, wither the Republican Party. And some are saying it is withering. I mean, that's what's happening. You know, to explain that, here's somebody who talked about women's faces, is for things that Republicans are not. Planned Parenthood comes to mind. It talks about banning Muslims, building a wall at a time when the GOP autopsy from 2008 said you cannot win without Hispanics.
From 2012.
Where are we? 16, right. 2012. And so, you know, explain your acceptance of that language.
What I'm accepting is the reality is that Donald Trump is our presumptive nominee, and the Republicans have voted overwhelmingly to support him, and he's about to be Donald Trump 1237. And so if, as a party, we talk about being an open tent and the diversity of our party, and Republicans in the South are different from the Republicans in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And so you do have party purists who say you have to be a strict, extreme conservative in order to be a part of this party. That's just not true. Susan Collins in Maine is totally different from a Southern senator like Lindsey Graham. And so what you have to accept is our party is changing, our party is evolving, and this person has a lot of people supporting him in our party and a lot of people that are outside of our party. So if we are the party of an open tent, if we are the party of ideas, this is one idea that has prevailed to the top.
Well, you'll see, by the way, when you get to the general election, because this is a fraction of the electorate that's voting now. But I hear your point. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the Democrats here, Angela, because the race isn't over, it doesn't seem. Yeah. After Bernie Sanders won in Indiana, let's listen here to, first of all, Hillary Clinton, who has the general election in mind at this point. She says she's had some tough and honest conversations with people in Appalachia.
I've met with coal families who want to be thanked, as they should be, for the work that they and their parents and their grandparents did to build our country. I've met with steel worker families who don't understand how China gets away with undercutting our jobs and businesses.
And then here's Bernie Sanders, who told the Associated Press he's not giving up.
Why should I drop out? We just won a major victory here in Indiana. We look forward to winning victories. You know, I'm not predicting, but I think we got a shot to win in West Virginia, Kentucky, Oregon, California. Those people should not have the right to determine who's going to be president of the United States. I don't think so.
Angela, what's the Democratic race look like at this point?
Well, I think it's very clear. You know, Bernie Sanders is talking about his win, as he should. You know, congratulations to the Sanders team. The challenge is I don't see this math happening. Bernie math is like new. Like, I thought I was bad at math. They have like a whole campaign of folks who are just not being honest with numbers and data.
But then why hasn't he stopped going after Hillary Clinton? Because he knows that, too. I mean, he sees the same numbers.
And so I'm getting ready to answer that. Part of it is what I was getting ready to say is even the delegates from last night, there are 92 total delegates. They each get 45 based on those results, even though the polls are wrong. So that's another set of bad math, another show, Jeremy. But what I will say to you is he is continuing to attack Hillary Clinton. Why? Because she has been the consistent front runner. The more that he continues to stay in this race, to be a part of the Democratic Party, as the independent that he is, he has to continue to attack the front runner. That's the only way that he can poke holes in her overall agenda and her overall ability and to be the front runner and to potentially be the Democratic nominee. The issue that Bernie Sanders has is math is not on his side and time is not on his side. He's running out of dates. That laundry list of primaries he could win was a whole lot longer a little while ago. Yeah. Now he's talking about West Virginia and Kentucky. We know May 10th, May 17th are right around the corner. He's going to do well in those states. We expect him to. They're overwhelmingly white. The male voters are overwhelmingly on his side, and Hillary Clinton still has a young people problem.
You know, it is astonishing to think that, you know, we've been out there, Jeremy, you guys as well, covering the primaries. You see all those campaign headquarters, all those signs, all that work, all those volunteers. It's pretty much blown away.
All that money.
Right? All that money. And also, I'm wondering, just a thought, it must be galling. I mean, I can see Bernie Sanders looking at the general election polls, which show him
doing better
Donald
against Trump,
yeah,
than she does.
Yeah, and actually John Kasich also in those national polls in the general election, he might fare better as well. But here we are. Paris, you first and then Angela. Your last thought, not forever, but first today, on as we go forward, your last thought at this new landscape we're looking at.
I think the new landscape is reflective of the new status of where Republican and Democrat voters are. They want somebody that's refreshing, that somebody that's new, and somebody that is an outsider. That's why you see people identifying with Bernie Sanders, and that's why you see a lot of people identifying with Donald Trump. The question, back to Angela's point with Bernie Sanders, is do you have the numbers to get there? And the only thing I think he's banking on is an indictment. That's the only way he gets the nomination.
Oh, come on, Perry.
And the email issue. Yep. Well, go ahead, Angela, your thoughts.
So I agreed with everything my good friend Paris Kennard said until he got to this indictment. We know that there's no indictment on Hillary. There is an indictment on Donald Trump's character. I can't wait till he has to testify about Trump University, Paris.
I went to Pepperdine, so I'm good.
Bam. Bam. And just a last thought just from you, Paris, because we have had two candidates dropping out. Yeah. Ted Cruz, of course. I mean, that was a shock to some people. Your thoughts on what he does now?
It was a great shock, and I don't know if he's going to have a lot of friends when he goes back to the Senate. It's going to be a lonely time in the Senate for him. But I think that Donald Trump's tone...
He's used to that.
Right. Donald Trump's tone towards him, he's going after Ted Cruz supporters. And I don't think that you're going to see them end badly. I think that might be the beginning
of a beautiful relationship. That would be amazing, since Donald Trump accused his father of having something to do with JFK's assassination. Crazy.
Crazy. Well, and
politics make strange bedfellows.
Exactly.
And I just hope that Ted Cruz doesn't blame his loss on his poor VP, Carly Fiorina, who is going to be the shortest VP candidate in history. Angela Rye and Paris Dinard, Democratic strategist Angela and Republican strategist Paris. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.